Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The president is seeking a big increase in military spending, and Donald Trump has also promised to crush the so-called Islamic State and quickly. And the Pentagon plan Trump requested to try to do that is now on his desk. On the ground, U.S.-backed Iraqi military forces pushed deeper into ISIS-controlled Mosul today. Supported by American airstrikes and some U.S. troops, the Iraqis are trying to retake western Mosul after securing the eastern side weeks ago. NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman joins us now to talk about the Pentagon's ISIS strategy. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Eric.
So the president has talked about striking this quick and devastating blow, Tom, to ISIS. Does the new plan mark a significant change in U.S. strategy?
Well, first of all, I think the plan, you'll see an increase in American troops on the ground in both Iraq and Syria. Some of those troops will likely be closer to the front lines. But whether it provides a quick and devastating blow to ISIS, probably not. It's going to take some time, maybe months, to corral the Islamic State. So, but this will be, quite a few more troops from what I'm hearing.
And the president, Tom, has campaigned on reducing U.S. commitments overseas. America first is his mantra. But this might be an expanded military role against ISIS and other terrorist groups. How do you square that?
Oh, I can't square it. I mean, the president's been kind of bipolar in this, America first on the one side, reducing commitments overseas. What I'm hearing is they could send as many as 500 American troops to Syria. You're talking about more special operations forces, more intelligence folks, logistics, artillery folks over to Syria to really press against Raqqa. That's the capital of the Islamic State, the de facto capital. And you could likely see more troops over in Iraq as well to press the city of Mosul that you just mentioned. The western part of the city, taking that is going to be much more difficult. There are narrow streets, many more people, hundreds of thousands of them there, several thousand ISIS fighters who will likely fight to the end. It's going to be a very, very tough fight.
Tom, and let's be clear, the Pentagon often uses these euphemisms about troops and supporting roles, but these guys aren't, you know, in the rear with the gear. You're talking about a potential upfront in harm's way role.
Right. Some of them will be up front and in harm's way. There's absolutely no question. Some of them will be calling in airstrikes. You'll have, again, special operations forces close to the front lines or on the front lines with either Iraqi troops or Syrian forces. But a lot of them will be away from the front lines. Again, artillery, artillerymen calling in strikes. Also, logisticians bringing in supplies, intelligence people working with drones and satellites to try to get a good picture of the battlefields. So don't think of this as the 82nd Airborne parachuting in and just taking the city of Raqqa. So again, some will be in the front lines, but not all of them, clearly.
But Tom, I have to ask, I mean, the president often says, you know, we don't win wars anymore. He seems to almost have this kind of nostalgic longing for a big decisive victory. But as we know, battling transnational terrorism isn't just a military fight, and the battle's not going to end with a signing ceremony. Is there frustration at the Pentagon that he may not understand fully the fight that they're up against or not?
I'm not sure there's frustration at the Pentagon. I think their eyes are wide open about this, and it has been for many, many years. You're right. There will be no signing on the USS Missouri like you saw at the end of World War II. These are very difficult fights. Let's say, for example, if you do have a quick and devastating blow to ISIS, what happens in Syria next? You have Assad still in power. You have the Kurdish section of the country. You have his Alawite faction. You have Sunnis in other parts of the country. What happens to Syria once the Islamic State is defeated, however many months that takes? In some respects, that's more of a difficult problem to figure out. What does that country look like in the coming years? And the same with Iraq. Once Mosul is taken, who is going to control the city? You have Kurds up there. You have some Iranian-backed forces. You have Sunnis. You have all sorts of competing entities around the city of Mosul. Who controls Mosul in the coming months? How is that going to work? And you still have the big problem in Iraq that's been a problem really from day one, the Sunni-Shia split. The Sunnis are seen as second-class citizens. They're seen as they believe they're being pressed or ignored or actually attacked by this Shia-led government. What kind of hope do you give them in the coming weeks, coming months, coming years, that they're going to be accepted as full members of Iraqi society? That's the key problem with Iraq. And again, the problem in Syria is, what does that country look like? Who's in charge and what happens in the future?
Absolutely. NPR's Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman. Thanks a lot, Tom.
You're welcome, Eric.